This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here comes second and 10 for San Francisco, right to left, just starting the game. Purdy looks right, looks left. Odighizuwa ahead him, and then to finish the sack, here comes DeMarcus Lawrence. Boy, Odighizuwa was through there in a hurry.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Cowboys lose to the 49ers, and right now it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors and a special guest.
It is DallasCowboys.com, Isaiah Stanback. Isaiah, how you doing today, man?
Man, I'm hanging in there, man. How about you guys?
I'll feel better if you just start dropping fire on everybody, and then we can just jump in along with you and just start bashing folks.
Man, I feel like that's what it's going to be here for a little while. You know, every offseason, that's what it has to always be for the Cowboys Nation, unfortunately. But we hopefully they can change some things around, but they got some work to do.
We'll get into some of the future thoughts here. For this game specifically, Isaiah, what was the biggest failure on the Cowboys' part? I feel like the defense did very well in this game, but the offense left a lot to be desired.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, the word that came to mind for me following the game was just disappointment. You talk about a team who defensively has been pretty consistent along the year. Last year, you think about the relationship between the offense and the defense. It was pretty complementary. The offense was at the top of the league. The defense was at the top of the league in terms of takeaways. That was a great relationship, all right, a great marriage. Now you flip the script, and now you're into a season where you had some turmoil, some things that you had to overcome. The coaching staff did amazing by weathering that storm with Cooper Rush and going 4-1 and that whole deal. But now you're in a situation with your quarterback where he's having a turnover issue. And because of the turnover issues, you're now putting your defense at a disadvantage. It's not one person's fault, but it is heavily weighted on the quarterback, which is why the QB is so valued in this league. But to put yourself in a situation where you're turning the ball over frequently against teams that you can't afford to give more opportunities to, you can't expect yourself to win ball games like that. Nevertheless, ever try to bring home my big boy trophy. So I was disappointed in the inability for this offense to move the ball on a consistent basis. I was very pleased to see the surges, the growth and development of CeeDee Lamb. You really saw his competitive nature come along. But we had an ineffective running game. Our passing game was lackluster. Dak was not on his game again, and that's been consistent all year long. That's the one inconsistency that has been consistent all year has been the turnovers. And you can't afford yourself. You can't expect to win ball games like that, man. And it's really unfortunate that we're sitting here having this conversation again year after year. But it's always something different.
Isaiah, you're playing GM for this moment, and you've been watching this thing as closely as you have. What is the thing that you can do without the offensive coordinator, or is it the eyes and abilities of the quarterback at this point?
Oh man, what can you do without? Well, that's a loaded question, man. I don't think they can necessarily do without much. I mean, you know, one of my comments following in the postgame show yesterday on the Cowboys platform was, how many years can you expect to have a roster this stacked with a coaching staff this amazing and keep coming up short? I mean, you have one of the most highly coveted coaches in Dan Quinn, who's going to, you're putting him in a position again where he's going to have to try to say no for the second year in a row to a ton of opportunities that are out there. I think there's more opportunities this year than there was even last year. And you're most likely going to lose him. And even if you don't lose him, even if you do retain him somehow, some way, you have so many salary cap issues, so many free agents that you have to try to re-sign. And we know Dallas likes to try to do things a discount, double-check way and try to find, you know, veterans that are out there that have that look for opportunities and, you know, try to work your way through the draft. But it's always a building process. And I know Dallas Cowboys fans are tired of this building process, And they want the W's, man. You want the W's. You can't keep talking about the things of the past when you have when you're in a position to win the right now. And I'm not sure of what they're going to do with Tony Pollard. You know, obviously they have a position where they can definitely tag him if he doesn't want to sign a contract. They don't come to a deal. Zeke's going to take a pay cut. We all know that's going to happen. But you have to start looking forward to the future and start talking about CeeDee Lamb. This time you have to start thinking about re-upping CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs and some of your nucleus pieces that you have. All the while, Dak's going to add $30 more million hit towards your cap space going into next year. You're talking about a $49 million hit.
I
don't know how you could talk about retaining guys when you have that kind of problem over your head.
Now, when you talk about the discount double check, you're like right in my wheelhouse. is any of the need for the discount double check, because this is what I believe, that the Cowboys are poor negotiators to begin with. Like, I feel like you gave a at market rate or perhaps over market rate value contract to Michael Gallup, who was hurt. If they didn't franchise Tony Pollard, I feel like they would do the exact same thing with Tony Pollard. Dak Prescott got hurt, and they gave him $8 million more than what he was asking for the year before. I feel like we are not good as an organization at negotiating with our own players, but we love it so much, and that's why we have to double check so much.
I don't disagree with you. I do believe, and it's a positive thing, but it's a negative thing at the same time. You know, the Jones family, they're all about being loyal to their soil. They love their guys. If they've invested in you and you've been a great representative of their brand, they will give you every opportunity to come back and play for them. I respect them for that, and I love them for that, but at the same time, that can be their Achilles heel. Michael Gallup is not what he was last year. Let's just call a spade a spade. I mean, you saw it on his inability to come out of the route yesterday. That hurt them. You know, you also saw Dak compound that problem by throwing the ball that direction. So I think that some of this stuff is kind of on hope. And we all know that hope is not a strategy. They're going to have to find a way to be more aggressive, I believe, this offseason to get some more guys. But I honestly don't think that the guys are the problem. That's the thing. Everybody's going to look to the players. Over the last 2 years, they've had a stacked roster. The roster has not been the issue. The coaching staff has not been the issue. It's been the execution, and this year it's been the turnovers.
With Ezekiel, because Tony Pollard goes down, that changed the game. Like that completely, you could pick up yards with Tony Pollard that you weren't going to quite get with Zeke. What is Zeke's role with this? He was not good yesterday, Isaiah.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think Zeke coming off of the offseason, I think he was explosive. I think he was agile. I think he was lighter. And then as the year progressed, he started losing some of that explosiveness. He started losing some of that burst. And then you saw what he was yesterday. I think that Zeke is still a very valuable asset in this league, but it's more so from the standpoint of his understanding of the game. It comes from the standpoint of him knowing the protections and being able to protect Dak. It comes from being a short yardage back. And that's really the role that he's in now because he does not have those same attributes as he once had. And he understands that. You can see it in his eye that he understands that. I don't think that's going to be an argumentative point for him going forward. It's just you're seeing somebody age. And people don't like to see their superstars age, but this is the reality of the league. You know, bigger, younger, faster, stronger. And unfortunately, he's just going the opposite direction in that regard.
And, you know, when it comes to aging, a guy that will be a year older next year, but he still had a pretty good season. Dalton Schultz, Kevin said that he had, what was he suffered?
Malaise.
Yeah, it's a combination of lazy and all these other things in that last couple of plays that he just, I don't know, he was disconnected in that moment.
Yeah, I mean, no disrespect to Dalton Schultz. I think he's done a heck of a job with his time here with Dallas. I've never been a huge advocate of why they franchise tagged him. I was never really on board with that. I don't think that he brings enough individually to merit that amount. But they did. They saw the value in him, and he got his money, and good for him. But I think going forward, you know, if you're going to invest that kind of money on a tight end, they have to be an impact tight end. They have to be a Kittle. They have to be a Kelsey. They have to be some of these guys, you know, Njoku, some of these guys that can catch the ball, get some yak, and can sit in there and block. And I'm not sure that Schultz provides enough of a value for you to say, hey, I'm going to pay you millions of dollars to do something that I feel that Ferguson can still do as well. So Schultz, in terms of what everybody was expecting of him, he wasn't going to be effective yesterday because you never had a running game. And if you don't have a running game as a Dallas Cowboys, you don't have a passing game because your passing game comes off of play action. And where does the majority of Dalton Schultz's passes come from? Just like you saw him yesterday, red zone touchdown, that's where he gets them, off of the play action. So that's the type of guy he is. He's a system tight end. There's nothing wrong with that, but that is what he is. I don't think you're going to ever expect Dalton Schultz to sit up there and block any of the best defensive ends in this league, nor are you ever going to expect him to line up and beat any safeties one-on-one. So from that perspective, I think he's a system guy.
Would you be more interested in, like, I know that person might not, like, immediately be there, but I'm just saying, in theory, would you be more interested in trying to make a run at a big money tight end who might not fit that system mold, or do you like the Cowboys' ability to move on from Schultz and go with Ferguson and Hendershot on the cheap and see if they can be system tight ends for way cheaper?
I think you have a handful of young tight ends on your roster, and as you just mentioned, Ferguson and Hendershot. I think those guys are going to be a great tandem going forward in terms of fulfilling the roles that Dalton Schultz might vacate should he not come back. I think that they're going to have to start turning their attention towards some positions such as cornerback. Your cornerback is going to be a highly touted position for Dallas Cowboys this offseason. I think they're going to have to continue to add to their offensive line depth. That's definitely going to be an issue going forward because you have an aging Martin. You have a Tyron Smith where you don't know what the heck he's going to be doing because right. You have a Terrence Steele who's unrestricted, who's a restricted free agent, but you're hoping to bring him back. But then you've invested into Tyler Smith at the left tackle. So where does that leave Tyron? So you have to figure that out and start figuring out, okay, who are going to be behind these guys? I think that's going to be – they have to get back to being in the trenches. And that's when I feel Dallas was most dominant, was when all their investment was into their offensive and defensive line.
Now, this question is a quick answer, very simple, but it leads to my second one.
Tell him how to answer.
Well, he can answer however he wants. Are the guys going to watch this game together in the next couple days?
I don't know that locker room enough to make that judgment.
Okay.
From my experience, no.
Okay.
You typically go back and watch it yourself. But again, I don't know how together that locker room is. I don't know who is in that locker room that calls the guys together and say, hey, we need to watch this together, because the reality is some of these guys no longer have jobs and they're no longer tied to the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, and that, I guess, to that point then, how is Diggs lucky that nobody else is going to be able to watch that game around him then from that respect? Because how many people would be looking at him going, really, dude?
I think people are asking Diggs to be somebody he's not. And, you know, last year when Diggs was getting all these interceptions, I was very slow to jump on the Diggs bandwagon in terms of him being a dominant cornerback. I think he's a really good cornerback. I think he's a really good cover cornerback. I think he did grow this year. But for you to sit up, for people to sit up there and have the expectations of a Jalen Ramsey on him, that's not him.
Mm.
That's not who he is. He's not Jalen Ramsey. He's not like he's better than Ward that we just faced yesterday in coverage. But you saw Ward coming up and laying the hat on a couple guys. You don't have that in him. Now, you can go get somebody else that can be that type of enforcer on the edge, and it does make huge contributions to your defense when you have that run support from the cornerback position. But that's not who he is. And I mentioned it yesterday to Nate Newton. I was like, Deion Sanders wasn't coming up to hit nobody.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't coming to hit nobody. He didn't want no part of it. But guess what? You weren't going to run no routes on him either. So as long as Trayvon is the guy that can shut down your number one receiver, which I think he is getting there. I think he's there some days he's not. But for the most part, he's a really good cornerback. But if he doesn't want to hit nobody, they just have to change the defense up to ensure that he's not in that position too often.
I swear this is not a political question.
What are you doing right now?
Did you see Governor Greg Abbott's tweet yesterday about Brett Maher?
Yeah, I saw the governor and the mayor. They both just need to keep their thumbs in their pockets.
Greg Abbott's tweet right now has 20.6 million views.
Kidding?
To which I was watching the game with me looked at me and goes, isn't he in a wheelchair? I was like, yes, I think that was kind of the...
so bad.
It really was. That one stung a little bit.
Yeah, just come on, man. But listen, everybody's entitled to an opinion. When you see stuff like that, I mean, I literally just brush it off. You can't put any weight on that. Just disregard it.
Well, we appreciate you, as always. Every time you're on with us, you're fantastic. And we appreciate you doing an interview even after the Cowboys lose. Not everybody does that.
No, it's all good, man. I appreciate you guys, man. Always hit me up.
There you go. Thanks, Isaiah. Appreciate it, man.
He is fantastic.
No problem, man. You guys be good.
He is good.
Because the Jones family are firing people right now.
We don't know.
That's speculation. I don't want to do that.
I will say,
I bet
like,
the whole coaching staff isn't back.
The whole coaching. I just saw Ross Tucker.
I think he means as though like man for man. Not everybody's back. Like, not,
I thought you were saying no. No. Jerry's like, I'm coaching next year. That's what I thought you were saying there. But
that would be awesome.
I'm going to tell you this. You don't got to sell nothing. If Jerry Jones is like, you know what? Now I'm the head coach.
Can you imagine?
Done. Oh my gosh.
Who's that guy number 14 on Tampa Bay catching the ball? I thought he was our defensive back.
You're never going to let that Chris Godwin thing go.
And where's that Wilson wide receiver on our team? I thought we had him 3 weeks
Miami
ago.
Now. I'm very sorry, Jerry.
How about that Ram in his game?
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's have a little fun. It might not have worked, but where or what did you make, sit, put on, or do to try to help the Cowboys win yesterday?
Or did you even try?
I did try. I kept the baby up past his bedtime.
Why would you do that?
So we can win. I just said that.
He'll never learn how to read. 877-881-1053.
We'll do it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Mike's giving you insight into our programming tomorrow.
Sounds like he's firing one of the Nuggets writers.
Wait, we have writers?
Oh, the Nuggets will probably make trades.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't know?
Our fart-knocking basketball team won't, though. We've got so much depth.
You'll have your chance for that, Mike.
You can bury that center
position. We got lots of months to fill. All right. So, it didn't work. The Cowboys lost. But what did you, breaking news, they might tell you that in the ticket tomorrow, is what did you make, what did you wear, what did you do to try to get the Cowboys to win? So here's what I did, and this, I guess, is what y'all told me off air is why my baby can't read yet, is I kept Noah up past his bedtime because it went like this.
Like, did he fall asleep and you woke him back up? That's not good.
I have a wife that would say that's not the best idea. We did not go that far. San Francisco took a 3-0 lead, and my wife's awesome. She does an amazing job with him. But I took Noah, and then the Cowboys went on a touchdown drive. And I was like, well, hold on. Now I have to keep the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, he needs to go to bed pretty soon, maybe now. And I was like, well, let's hold on.
Let's watch this extra point.
Yeah. And then the extra point didn't work, but we still had the lead. All right. So as long as we had the lead or weren't losing, we were losing when I wasn't holding baby Noah. But when I was holding baby Noah, we weren't losing. And so even when it was still 6-6, I was like, let's keep this going. And then the crippling Dak interception, and then San Francisco scored the field goal. So now baby Noah's good luck had rubbed off. And so I handed him back to my wife, and he could go to bed.
Wow.
But that is what I did. I kept Noah up past his bedtime in hopes that we would win.
Well, Kevin, that didn't work.
It didn't work.
So
I didn't do anything because for 27 years, I've tried different things. Nothing works for this organization. You can wear whatever you want to wear. You can watch the game in just your jockey strap if you want to.
You ever done that?
It ain't going to happen.
Have you ever done that?
No. It's not that comfortable.
Let me ask you this question, though.
Even though there's nothing in your crack,
if
it's
the
on the
world
side.
Guarantee, if there was a way that we could guarantee the Cowboys would win, get to the Super Bowl, if you watched every single game in your jockey strap,
why do you keep saying
would you
like
do
that?
It?
Yeah, I would. But we already know it's not going to happen. So that's why I've given up on all these things. I've taken Roy Williams' jersey and I threw it in the trash, and my wife thought it was a mistake and pulled it out of the trash can. I said, no, that is in the trash. He's a trash player. His jersey's going in the trash.
But you've never tried watching an entire game in your jockey straps.
Stop saying
that. No, I'll go upstairs. I'll go in the attic. I think my old jockey strap's still in like one of my bags.
Can I just ask a quick question? Why did you keep that? Are you thinking a pickup game might break out? And you're like, all right, got to strap it up one more time.
A cup has to go in something.
Reggie, you gotta.
No, I was like, just keep them going. They were just.
You still have your cup too, then?
I think so. Okay. I'll look for it. I'll bring it in studio tomorrow if I can find it. I'll bring it in.
And when we say your cup, you had multiple cups, right? You didn't just wear the same one the whole career, did you? Well, you did?
Not the whole career, but most of the career.
How many jockey straps did you have?
They get tired after a while, just like underwear. Like, you know, they wear out.
Can you just imagine a jockey strap so they're going, I'm exhausted today.
No, just like what Mike talked about with the rim.
Why don't I imagine like Schoolhouse Rock?
Yes, that's what Mike talked about with the rim with Reggie Bullock. He's like, I can't take it anymore. See, what I picture now is Mike's wife being like, come on, Mike. That you need to change that jock strap. That's old.
Right.
Yeah.
She never saw my jock strap.
Okay.
She wasn't in the locker room with me.
That's good. I don't know if you kept it. I thought you might wear it home and be like, I got my lucky jock strap on.
It goes on your loop and they put it in the washer and you get it the next day.
Mm-hmm. This is exactly how I want this show to be.
From the 817 Cowboys. I watched the divisional round win over Tampa after my shift at Chick-fil-A. I wore that same uniform yesterday in my living room hoping it would help. It, in fact, did not. You tried.
I did. So what I did tell my wife was this will be a bubble of positivity. All right. Because on Monday against Tampa, like there was chaos leading up to the moment where I almost actually even missed most of the first part of the game where I was like, oh my gosh. But on Sunday, all day to prepare. And I said, I'm sitting down. She had made chicken in the crock pot. So it'd been cooking all day. It was ready right at game time. Bubble of positivity. Families, like kids start walking in and arguing with her about stuff, like whether or not they should take a shower. And I'm like, this is
the
a bubble.
Is always yes.
Yeah, then you need to take a shower, clean your butt. But it was bubble of positivity and kids are arguing about stuff. And I'm like, what? No.
Tell them to get the hell out of there.
I said, get out of this room with this negative stuff. And then I looked at Adrian at one point. I was like, look, you're part of the problem right now.
Oh my gosh.
I need people to understand. I love my wife. All right.
Like how much?
Tons. A lot last year, too. I love her. Like, I love her to the moon and back, all right? Mm-hmm. Like, if I could get all the stars in the world and give them to her, I would, all right?
She would die. They would burn her to death.
But sometimes she needs to read the room, all right, and understand what bubble of positivity means, all right? So I did change shirts. I wore a shirt last week, and I changed shirts at halftime. Now, the score was, 6-9?
Nice.
At halftime?
I responded to that text. That.
What?
It's 9-6.
Right. All right.
Say the big number first.
I don't know. On the scoreboard, the graphic had 6 on the left and 9 on the right.
Yeah, at one point, Brock Purdy was 6-9 for 69 yards.
Nice.
That was funny.
So I guess I was they were down when I changed
and
shirts.
And in the Mavs Clippers game earlier in the day, they were also tied 69-69.
Yeah, that's true. Nice.
We lost both.
Then they went on like a 40-0 run.
So maybe I shouldn't have changed shirts at halftime because we still were in it so close. But I guess it was just a really close game. So yeah, I did what I tried.
From the 214, first time hosting a playoff party, I went out and bought an 85-inch TV and put my Romo jersey on. Good thing I got the receipt for the TV and kept it. Can you still do that? You just be like, oh, yeah, it didn't work. Or aren't they just like, you have to exchange it?
I took a light bulb back the other day.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah. I was like, I bought this light bulb 3 days ago. It went out today, so I don't want to bring this back.
All right. Yeah. To the fan texters, if you have a Dak jersey, are you considering it? Consider throwing it in the trash after yesterday's game.
No.
I mean, that's expensive.
Yeah, it's like, you don't get any of the value
back. Maybe it's just like garage sale it or go to Buffalo Exchange or whatever.
I don't know if I've been to Buffalo Exchange.
They're like, you know, they buy older clothes or stuff.
Oh, really?
They sell them. Maybe you do
and the
that.
Dak Prescott jerseys are vintage now?
Yeah.
It's old news.
From the 817, my mother-in-law came over and forgot her Parsons jersey. I'm completely justified in blaming her for the loss. Because, that's how it goes.
Yep.
You could talk about the offensive line play all you want, the quarterback, but everybody knows that it was what one specific fan did that tipped the balance.
Nothing's ever worked since 1995. You'd have to do the same thing you did when Barry Switzer was the head coach.
You haven't tried everything.
What were we doing in 1995?
Well, I was at my grandparents. They're both dead, and they don't own that house anymore, so it's going to be pretty impossible. Maybe I'll knock on their house in Duncanville and see who lives there and go, hey, you got a TV set up right here because I'm going to watch the game.
How bad do you want to get to the Super Bowl? Yeah. That, please roll audio if and when you do that.
Yeah, I do remember, Kevin, when 19, what year?
95.
I was sitting on the couch. I had my feet. I was on the big couch. Dad sat on the small couch by himself, took up that area, and then Mom sat at the foot of my couch. And then at halftime, if things were going bad, we'd eat a pickle. And then everything would change. So I didn't eat any pickles. And I don't have that couch, and my parents are divorced. So
could we get your parents to hang out together for the sake of Super Bowl?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really wasn't sure. For the 972, I put as much effort in yesterday as Dalton Schultz. Well, hold on.
Wow.
Is that whole game
That's
Dalton
little,
Schultz
very
or
little.
Last drive and last drive adjacent Dalton Schultz.
Hold on, you think whole game Dalton Schultz was really good?
No, but I thought he was acceptable.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, end of the game Schultz was,
yeah,
he had
horrible.
Senioritis.
I thought Isaiah Stanback just did a great job of kind of summarizing Dalton Schultz. He's a situational, like, he works well for this team, but don't pay for a guy who's not special.
Yeah, he benefits a lot from the offense, the way that it's laid out, and a lot that the Dak trusts him. Like, that's a great thing to have that kind of connection, but Dak proved to you that he can trust two other tight ends as well.
And
actually,
what
three.
Real quick.
Yeah.
What the hell? Okay, as somewhat a Cowboys fan, you have...
You're a Cowboys fan? I know you are.
I know, because I just said what the hell on this play, because this is how stupid and moronic the coaching staff and Dak Prescott is. It's 3rd and 1 with, I can't remember, 30 seconds to go. They're 15 yards off. Getting 6 yards and going out of bounds or getting 2 yards and going out of bounds means absolutely nothing for those 4 yards. Just run the outside wide receiver, snap the ball. The dude is 15 yards away. Throw it to him. He takes 2 steps forward, 2 steps out of bounds, and you have your 1st and 10 with now 30 seconds to go. Instead, dumbass wants to run a 6 or 7 yard route. Dumbass number 2 throws that ball. Dumbass number 3, who was dumbass number 1, then doesn't really fight to go out of bounds. He's like, yeah, just softly push me out of bounds. Maybe he's too stupid to know the rules. So 3 dumbass situations, 2 of them by the same dumbass. But Dak was a dumbass for throwing that too, and probably dumbass Kellen Moore called a dumbass play. So the dude who's 15 yards off only has to close by 7 yards. Dumbasses.
I think we might have used the dumbass quota for like the rest of the week.
Yeah, in case you like, I haven't watched that 90s
Lucius
show yet. He just hit
right
the dumbass
now,
quotient right there. Oh.
Lucius was giving you the, ooh, hold on.
Yeah.
What's this guy doing right now? Look.
Whew. All right.
I mean, it was really stupid. I mean, you couldn't be any more stupider than everybody in that situation. Kellen Moore, Dak Prescott, and Dalton Schultz. Can you be dumber? The answer is no.
This is what the people have been waiting for.
It really is. I'm going to go to the fan text for people inadvertently responding to one another. From the 469, already burned a Dak jersey.
Thank you.
And then from the 214... from the 817, I've never been able to afford a jersey, so if you're burning or throwing a jersey away, you're a punk. Mm. And so, responding to one another, and this is something you brought up a long time ago. I think about this all the time since you brought it up after the Lumineers concert. From the 214, if sports makes you that mad, you should probably do them less, kind of like an alcoholic. I think about that all the time. Is
whiskey
a season finale of something, or a subpar episode, or Yellowstone putting on their 75th country music concert of the season doesn't make me as mad as sports does ever. And like, you brought it up at the Lumineers concert. You don't walk out and you go, stupid Lumineers.
They didn't play it.
Yeah. You're just like, I wish they would have played this song, but it was okay.
Yeah.
More often than not, you watch sports and like, you will feel one way or another about your day because of the outcome of the game.
The Elton John concert at the ballpark, it was okay, but I didn't leave upset. It's just like, okay, he's an old man. He's still trying to play.
He didn't get up and go, you can bet I got your money and walk off. Like, that didn't happen. He tried.
Yep.
I think about that all the time, Mike. There are times when I'm like, why do I even watch the freaking sports anyway? Love it.
Good catch.
Nice play there.
Yes, I did catch that. From the 254, Oh, no, from the 469. We got to go back to watching on a smaller tube TV. Do you have a tube TV accessible to take in the...
Yes.
Wait, a big booty TV?
Yes.
What?
I found one at the in-laws the other day in kind of one of those storage areas up in the attic or whatever. And I was like, it's the exact same TV I had that I watched that game on as a kid. So maybe I'm going to steal it next year, watch the whole season
okay,
on it.
Okay, next year. No, hold on. Next year plays out just like this. They make it to the divisional round.
Okay.
I need you to commit to watching the game on that TV.
Now I'm changing the whole season. They just made it there without that TV, so I have to watch the whole season that
way. They can't make it without you, Corey.
What if you just put that TV in the living room in the corner so it's there?
The tough thing is whatever you do in September and October, it's going to work.
Wait,
it just
on.
Won't work in December or January for the Cowboys.
Did Corey just say I don't have that many corners?
In that room, I only actually have two corners.
That's impossible.
In that living room. No, it's not.
Because it's an open.
There's door frames at the other two corners.
Yeah. So. Man, don't drag me into another stupid rectangle square discussion because I'm not here for that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You are a genius, Corey. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Brought to you by D&M Leasing. It is time for our chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Doing all right, Haggy.
Hanging in there here as well. Mike's dumbass rant definitely cheered some people up. Well, there are other people who said they had kids in the car and they did not appreciate it as much, which I understand.
Kids should be in school.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe
I don't know how old that kid is, though.
Could be four.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
Could be 19.
I have less sympathy for the 19-year-old, but your point is well made. Is if you had to boil it down to, I know there was a lot of things left on the field and a lot of different plays. If you have to boil it down to one play you thought, this is the single most important play that pivoted the game, what was it for y'all? Me, it was the Diggs dropped interception.
It was Pollard's injury for me.
The Kittle catch.
Another Diggs
because there's some question whether that maybe that Kittle was a legal man downfield.
Yep.
And if you go back and watch the tape, they run an unbalanced line, which means they moved McGlinchey over to the left side. So they had both tackles to the left. And Brandon Ayuk, now depending on what the line judge saw, I think Kittle was connected to the guard by his alignment, and Ayuk was covering him. And I talked to some people at the Cowboys, and they, of course, you know, they felt the same way. But that was a huge play in the game.
Yeah.
That really, really was. Now, you're absolutely right about the drops and stuff like that were terrible. But that play right there, maybe they missed their legal man downfield call on that one. Because if you look at the alignment of where he was.
That's 30 yards right there.
Yeah, it was a big, big play.
The Dak interceptions were huge, but I do think the Diggs dropped pick, and I think it was Anthony Barr who got the deflection there. But that was huge because it ended up being a 7-point swing.
Yeah.
You know, you end up taking away the touchdown that resulted in McCaffrey, and then you also ended up getting him off the field with the sack on third down, and Donovan Wilson gets called for holding. Again, that was the Kittle drive ultimately.
Yeah.
But you could tell the defense was really the Niners line started to take over and dominate. and you had an opportunity, much like you got the week before against Tampa Bay with Kearse getting a red zone interception. You're off the field. You saved points. And all of a sudden, that is a momentum-shifting type of play. And who knows what Dak and the offense do, but either way, you preserve points, and your offense is on the field, your defense is off the field. To me, that would have been a game-changing type of play.
Yeah, they were gassed for sure. Brought us real quick to go back to the Kittle play.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider moving Neville Gallimore to safety now after you see him chasing wheels, Kittle down
bro.
The field?
I'll tell you what, it was kind of like he was like, whoa, bro, what are you supposed to be doing down the field? You're not supposed to be doing that. In this game, from what I was able to see, how I was watching it, Bosa got you on three plays. He got Tyron Smith on three plays. He got him on back-to-back plays when you were down in the red zone. The pass, the drive that ended where the ball bounced off Zeke, you know, that was a situation right there where you look at, he had back-to-back plays. It was second and goal and third and goal where he was able to get the best of Tyron Smith. And then the long ball, I heard you guys talking about the long ball that went down the middle of the field to Gallup. When you guys go back and watch it, you're going to see Tyron Smith get compressed into Dak, and it's making it difficult. I'm not defending Dak on the, I mean, if you throw the ball maybe a little bit sooner, it's got a shot. But, another big play, too, was the, if you go back, the miss where they try to fit the ball with Fred Warner on the coverage. If the ball goes earlier, that's got a shot. But when you got that Tampa 2 look where the Mike backer runs that deep and his hips are towards a receiver, you're taught to throw to the other side, whoever Hilton. The other side, to Hilton. Yeah, that could have been a bigger play.
You know, I think all those are huge. The pick by Dak right before half where it's like, that's either a 6 or a 10-point swing, you know, depending on if you get the touchdown or not. And I thought that was really ill-timed. But the Tony Pollard injury, you know, how fatally flawed this offense is if you don't have that speed element for Dak to either hand the ball to or throw to short. Zeke's limitations really jumped off the screen as you're like, oh my goodness. He might be one of the worst running backs I've ever seen as far as being a threat to make a big play. You know, it was just like he's playing in quicksand compared to the other guys. When Pollard went out, that obviously very significantly changed your offense. I think you get into the 20s and win the game if he's healthy.
To your point, I said this earlier, watching with my father, there were two or three runs. I think there are three runs where Zeke got 3 yards in the second half, and we both looked at each other, said at least 8, if not like 50.
Yeah.
If that same hole is there for Pollard, if Pollard gets that ball, we're like, that's at least 5 more yards, and we don't know. Maybe Pollard's able to then turn on the burners and get another 20 yards, but Zeke just can't do it.
He's a stud in short yardage. You know, some of those short yardage plays that he made was like, dang, I don't know if there's 5 other running backs in the entire league that could have basically squat thrusted that dude into the past the first down marker.
Yeah.
You know, so Zeke has his value, but it's got to be a limited role, and it's probably not one that's going to continue with the Cowboys for good reason.
And it really highlighted all the weapons and the lack thereof once Pollard went down, because then it was just Lamb, 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 Lamb. You really have nothing else. Schultz is giving you nothing. Gallup's giving you literally nothing. T.Y. Hilton's basically giving you nothing. Here's Noah Brown. Okay, now you're in a world of trouble. And so Lamb was the only option. And for me, the play, it does go back to the play to where you're trying to fit it into Lamb on 3rd and 5 when, okay, it's 3rd and 5, so you're going for the gusto there. So does that mean, like, and then you end up punting the ball?
Yeah.
You take the 5-yard penalty and you punt.
Yeah.
I thought he should have gone on the 40.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Or you say, on the front end, you know, we
don't
got
run that play.
I got 2 plays here.
That's what I'm glad you brought that up. That's what I thought too, because as soon as they went for it, I was like, well, but you know they're going for it, or else they wouldn't have taken a deep shot. Yeah. And then they're like, all right, delay a game, whatever.
I'll tell you another big play. And again, we'll get into 240 at Krusty's Corner. They did a great job on the kickoff return. If that kid keeps
break to the right,
break to the right.
Oh gosh!
I mean, it's
Turpin should have scored.
See, like to me, because you know you're gonna CJ Gwynn's out there blocking. You got a shot, and if you carry the ball wide, there's no way that Robbie Gould or even the defender. I mean, the defender is completely has to turn around to try and even make a tackle if you can get the ball to the outside by going back to the inside. Yeah, it just killed. You know, you gave them a chance to make the play. I mean, all day long, those guys made the play. One of the best tackling teams I've seen. Man, it's just like when you watch them tackle, That is super impressive the way they do it.
That's what I think, that kind of thing is what agitates me even more, because that's a damn fine football team that you lost to, but you belonged on that field. And I still think you should have won that game. For as much as we talk about, you know, this play, I thought the Cowboys played better and should have won the game. And that's what's so frustrating, because I didn't feel that way last year.
No.
I watched that wild card game. I know they made the run at the very end, but I was like, you're not better than this team.
No, ultimately, you know, that's what quarterback play comes down to
in
these games, right? It's all about, in the playoffs, it's a play here and a play there. Everybody's so close. The margin of error is so small. And yesterday, your quarterback made two massive mistakes and a couple other misreads. And it's to the point now where the inconsistent play, you can't defend him anymore. And the other gut check that I had yesterday, and I've wanted to believe in Dak. I'm a guy that thinks Dak is a good quarterback. But when he got the football back and that offense got the football back with 3 minutes to go, in my heart, and I wonder how many other Cowboy fans felt this way, did you believe they were going down to score?
No.
I did. But
I'm not going to lie to myself and lie to the listeners. No, I didn't.
But that's the thing, because I did lie to myself. I admitted to Mike I lied to myself, because I was also like, well, what's that based on? And I was like, I don't know. But so
it was the worst three-play sequence maybe we've ever freaking seen, other than the next drive that they had.
It's how the playoffs started and how the playoffs finished for him. And there were some good moments in between, but not nearly enough. And I'm with you, Zach. We talked about this last week. I just felt like you were going to be able to keep it close in a low-scoring game against the 49ers, and you would get the ball in the fourth quarter with a chance to go win the game, and it would fizzle like it did multiple times in the second half last year and then in the playoffs. And it was a little bit different, but all too familiar. And I think what it comes down to for the front office, and hopefully they have clarity and sobriety on this, is, hey, we have a pretty good quarterback. This quarterback can't carry a flawed roster. You know, so if we're going to go forward with Dak, we have to commit to, we're going to actually try to build a full team like the Niners have. The Niners don't say, hey, we have a great defense, can't afford an offensive line, can't afford weapons. They get it all.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, we have Dak, so he can cover up. No, he can't. Okay. Build a good offensive line. And then, yes, every 3 years, you're probably going to have to eat a bunch of dead cap space and be bad and reset your salary cap and then come back. But you have to commit to the up and down peaks and valleys if you don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback. And that should be so clear to the Joneses right now.
My concern about that, because I'm with you, is this year, for everyone who complains about Dak's contract, which I get that as well, he counted $19 million against your cap. Next 2 years, he counts $101 million. So you get ready for that.
So you
got to
restructure that.
And that's what's going to happen.
You got to restructure the hell out of that thing and keep throwing good players at him. Okay? And if you believe Dak's good enough to carry a roster that's incomplete, you're part of the problem, because you keep believing. That's what the Joneses are doing. They're building a good enough team to make you believe. You have to be smarter than that and refuse to believe. Okay, refuse to believe if they give you half a roster again. He's not going to be able to do it with a bad defense or a bad offensive line. Build the whole damn thing or don't believe. And then maybe you'll stop watching enough to actually propel the Joneses to change.
What do you guys got coming up on the program? I feel like I got a pretty good idea off of that.
Well, you know, that's my thoughts. And we'll go around the room right out of the gates and get everybody's thoughts on why they lost and how they fix it moving forward. You know, so right at G-Bag of the Day is coming up 2:30.
All right, roll home with what is sure to be an explosive and informative edition of the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 through the Fan.
Say goodbye, Kevin.
It's not just good night?
Okay, say good night, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!
Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.